It's Thursday. That means it's time for our thought leader conversation. And our thought leader today, Don Lloyd, is the Senior Vice President, Manager of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives. He's here on his holiday to discuss holiday trading during big, slow times like this. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Good to be back. Thank you.
2 weeks in a row, you're kind of making me, you know, too much of Don. It's I don't know, but we're glad to have you here.
You must have lost a bet. I don't know.
Or you lost
it. I'm happy to be here. Love it.
We're happy to have you. Let's talk a little bit about, because it is vacation time. A lot of people are still on vacation from the Independence Day holiday. It makes us wonder what goes on sort of on the trading floor and in your trading room. I mean, do you have like senior people there? Are they gone? And if not, what's the deal?
Yes. June, July, and August are always those fun summer months. And anything can happen. Usually what happens is exactly that. The more senior people decide they want to take a break, they want to get away, and you basically look at the less experienced people who are don't have that flexibility of picking when they want vacation. And the last thing you tell them is just don't mess anything up. And off you go. And the less experienced men or women sit there white-knuckled, and they try not to mess anything up because the last thing they want to do is call you and say, here's something that happened, and then get yelled at for the next 10 minutes. So we're in that period of time right now. What it means in the market is pretty interesting. You will hear information will be released, events will happen, and the market will just sit there. And you'll say, well, that's odd. Why did the market just sit there? Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, whenever the more senior people come back, all of a sudden that's being mentioned again and the markets start to move. And you're like, well, what just happened? Why didn't they trade on this 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? And that tends to be what happens a lot of time in this period of time.
I know you've shared with us before how you know things work at with all your screens and the 24-hour nature of things. Do you actually tell people don't press that button and this button, or is it a little bit more entailed?
No, it's not. You give them parameters. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how we're going to be positioned. Here's where I'd like to stay. I want to stay neutral. Service the flows that come in, and just don't do anything fancy. You know, try not to make a name for yourself. So you give them some pretty straight parameters, and then also, should something unusual happen, and that is always a gray area, give me a call. And I always feel bad, having been, you know, decades and decades ago, that younger, less experienced person in that role, mm-hmm. You have to make that call. Oh my gosh, do I make the phone call or don't I? Am I going to get yelled at because this is not significant? Why are you bothering me? Or is it going to be, gee, I didn't make the phone call because I thought it wasn't significant, and I'm getting yelled at because they thought... You're going to lose either way. It's sort of like the military. You know, mm-hmm. when you go through boot camp, anything you say is going to be wrong. So just get ready for it. And if you're going to err ever, pick up the phone and call.
It is interesting because this kind of talks about the workflow and the psychology of, it seems like we're always going 24 hours a day. To be able to say, hey, listen, I'm unplugging. I'm gone for 3 weeks. Yep. That has to help your psychology and the psychology of the market generally, doesn't it?
We're only human, and we need our downtime, and we need that rest. The markets are a treadmill that never stops. You can jump on it 24 hours a day, and you can run yourself to death. But you have to have a balance. You have to take care of yourself physically and mentally, and that does mean disconnecting and getting away. Those are healthy things to do. The lure of the market will always be there, but you know what? It's going to be there 3 weeks when you come back anyway, you know?
Is it that easy, though? Is it easy for you not to look at your phone when you're on vacation or pick up an iPad or see the TV?
For the first week, no. I'm still sort of jumpy and fidgety. If the phone rings, you know, you're jumping for the phone to grab it. After about a week, I can disconnect. I basically take my watch off. I turn all the clocks, take them off the wall. I don't want to see time. I don't want to be governed by time. I don't really care what time it is over in Singapore or Tokyo or London or someplace like that. But it takes me a week just to let go, where I'm physically relaxed. My kids sense it. My wife senses it. She knows when I hit that relaxed state where I can finally... get some mental health into me.
Yeah. So is this year odd in terms of more people on holiday compared with last year, or is it generally sort of average?
Yeah, it depends on the feel of the market when you're going into it. Last year was a fairly active summer. And you can sort of sense it. You know, you don't really want to get away. There's news that's coming out. You just feel like you need to be present. We've had a pretty straight run of this thing for the last 12 months, whether it's been the Fed hiking rates, whether it's been Brexit and UK elections, whether it's been OPEC and oil, you know, fill in the blank. There's been a lot of news out there. There's been a lot of drivers that have been out there in the market. And I think the participants of the market are tired. They just need to exhale, go sit on a beach, have a little daiquiri or margarita or whatever it is, Diet Coke, and watch the sunset and come back sort of refreshed.
To be the underling that is tasked with calling you if something bad happens, I'm curious, what would we qualify as something that would warrant a call to Don on vacation?
Usually anything that's going to, well, usually has moved the market in a significant way. Now, chances are, I probably already know about that or found out about it. And I would probably be more upset if I don't get that phone call because you haven't trained people properly, you know, as far as prioritization. So that can be the first thing. What's just moved the market 2% or 3% or something, you know, major that way. The second thing is if anything is going to happen that's going to take the bank outside of the parameters we set for them. Let's stay this way. Let us service these types of customers. Let us drive this type of hedging business and close this kind of stuff. If it goes outside of those parameters, that field of play that you've sort of given everybody to listen to and operate within, I want to call if you're going to be going out of bounds a little bit. Just need a heads up. Simply because I've got bosses, too, that are up. And, you know, you go outside of that parameter, they're going to want to know why and when. And it can't be, oh, last week we did it. You know, there is a sort of cascading effect upward. And I determine, well, this is important enough now to escalate or not. You know, we'll just keep it at this level. So, you know, after 39 years, I'm still in that same boat as well, where I sort of have to be a filter and make that determination. And most times I get it right, but sometimes you get it wrong.
And this is fascinating because if you're listening to us and you think, well, the markets really didn't react to something today or the trading volume has been flat, it really shows that this is a living, breathing thing that sometimes just is on life support, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, a great example is the snap election that they had over in the UK. And Theresa May calls a snap election. She thinks it's going to be a slam dunk where she increases her Conservative Party majority that she holds. And just the opposite happens. She loses the majority. You know, now she's got to run around and talk to other party groups to sit there and get the majority of votes that she's going to need to sit there and operate a government. I mean, there's 650 seats in the House of Commons. And you need 326 to sit there and have a functional government with a majority. And she's got 318. So she doesn't have a majority. She not a functional operating government that or the majority presence that she has. So she's got to reach across lines now and pull other groups in. She didn't have that. You would think that uncertainty and that surprise would have made the British pound sterling weaker against not only the U.S. dollars, but its other major trading partners. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Now, maybe that rears its head again towards the end of summer or later on, you know, next month or so. But you just sit back and you sort of scratch your head a little bit and say, I wonder why that had no impact to the market. I would have taken it as a negative. I would have probably taken a look at my portfolio allocations and maybe rearranged them a little bit because of it. It certainly wasn't expected. So, but that's the fun of the market, is that what you think? It doesn't come out that way sometimes.
In terms of news from foreign exchanges over the last couple of weeks, we heard a lot about Europe and Brexit in the UK. But we're also hearing some about China, too. And people may be surprised to hear this if they're not in the know on this, but China wants to take over the Chicago Stock Exchange.
Yes. China is looking to expand wherever they want. They want a global presence. Good for them. I mean, they are a very large economy. They certainly want to be and are becoming major players in the world market. When you have 350 million consumers over there, your economy is pretty deep and it's pretty strong. What they lack is infrastructure. compared to the United States, which we're sort of tempered. We have been doing this for a long time. We have the radar and the rudder in place to sit there and drive a big ship called our economy. China has a big ship, too. It's a large economy. But their rudders and their radar screens aren't fully as developed as they are here in the United States. They're getting there, but they're looking to expand. They want that global presence. They want to invest outside of China, and they're looking to Chicago. They're looking to the United States. They're looking all over the world to sit there and invest and to get big. The question is are they ready for it? Do they have the infrastructure? Do they have the controls in place to do that? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the whole China dilemma. You know, they're baby Huey. I mean, they're huge. They're out there, but you got to watch them with a real close eye.
And on the flip side of that, too, is are we ready to let them? I know, should we feel a little bit threatened that they want to take over this Chicago Stock Exchange?
Well, I'm a big believer in capitalism and let the markets do what the buyer beware and good for it. I mean, if you have China coming in to U.S. to buy U.S. assets and stock markets and whatnot, and they do it through appropriate means and legal means and ticking the boxes that are required to sit there and do it, by all means. If we don't like that, then we can respond in kind and do something about it, you know, from a pure capitalistic investment approach. But to me, that whole fluidity and lack of barriers is a good thing. So let them come in. It just, if anything, if we don't like it, it just ups our game and makes us improve our game of what we want to do.
Also out there on the geopolitical front, all of this controversy in Saudi Arabia with Qatar and Saudi Arabia and some of the Arab Emirate states. How big of a deal is this making on foreign markets?
Well, it's certainly, again, into the whole mix when it comes to oil and the price of oil and natural gas. But again, it's one piece of an already pretty meaty plate. When you take a look at the price of oil, you know, in the mid to low 40s, there's a lot of supply that's out there. The 24 members of OPEC, they try to regulate that a little bit. They've actually done a pretty good job on cutting their production down. But quite honestly, the U.S., through its fracking and, you know, through innovation, we get better and better and more efficient at pulling oil and natural gas out of the ground. And our costs are lowering and our break-even costs are down, so we can pull more and more oil and gas out of there. And it really doesn't matter too much what OPEC is doing at this state, because our inventories keep going up. We're becoming more efficient. And not to say that OPEC is becoming insignificant, because it's not. Mm-hmm. But they have to understand that innovation and efficiencies continue to advance. And we're pretty good at that. We're pretty good at figuring out better and cheaper ways to pull stuff out of the ground.
Well, Don, thanks for turning on your phone and coming in off vacation to have another chat with us here. And enjoy the rest of your holiday and come back ready and charged.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Don Lloyd is a Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives at Associated Bank in our Thought Leader Conversation today. Remember, we do them every Thursday, and you can listen to our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter.